it would be unusual for you or I to call our mother woman. And yet, the word woman in Scripture is a packed and a pregnant term because it's really identifying the woman of the Bible. The woman of Genesis, the woman of Cana, the woman of Calvary, and two other references that we're going to explore in our segment today. Welcome to Marycast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we're talking about Our Lady in Scripture. And I want to go to the woman of Galatians 4:4. The principal reference of St. Paul, the only direct reference of St. Paul to Our Lady, is in his fourth chapter in his letter to the Galatians. And at first glance, it would appear that it's not too significant. St. Paul tells us that, quote, when in the fullness of time God sent his son, born of a woman. And we would say, well, you know, that's interesting, it's positive, but where's the great revelation? We kind of know that. Galatians 4:4 to 4:6 is really a very important passage because, and it's why the Second Vatican Council, for example, starts its treatment on Our Lady and other papal documents with Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4 is setting down that it's God's will that the mission of the redemption include a woman. It's also the intentions of St. Paul, at least as legitimate scholarship would ascertain, that he's trying to protect Jesus from Gnosticism, from an idea that Jesus is not fully God or fully man, that he's some type of esoteric creature and creator mixed in a way that doesn't guarantee the incarnation. So let's briefly go through the steps of Galatians 4:4 to 4:6. It starts, as I mentioned, when in the fullness of time, God sent his son born of a woman. What does that tell us? It tells us, number one, that God the Father is the originator of the plan of redemption. He's the one who sends, misit Deus, in the Vulgate. God sends his son into our world to save us. Number two, it is Jesus, the Savior, that is sent. He is the second person made flesh, sent to save us. Number three, he saves us through a woman. The process of the Father sending the Son intrinsically involves Mary, the woman. So far from just an adage or an accidental component, Mary is central to the plan of the Father in the Son coming to redeem the world. Number four, we have in the passage that the goal of this is that we might become, quote, adopted sons. The Father sends the Son through the woman for us to be adopted sons. Well, that's our salvation. This is the whole purpose of redemption and our receiving sacramental baptism. And so we have Father, Son, Woman, adopted sons, which is the Christian call for each one of us. Then the reference to Paul, this Pauline reference, which is so packed, talks about the Spirit. That how do we know if you have indeed become an adopted son? It is through the presence of the Spirit of the Father. So we have Father, Son, Woman, adopted sons, Spirit. Then finally, in these two verses, there's reference that the Spirit of the Father, or the Spirit of the Son, calls us to cry out, Abba. Why Abba? Why not Jesus? Why not Savior? Why not Redeemer? Because the Spirit directs us back to the originator of the plan of salvation. So what does that mean? In these two verses, you have the whole history of salvation. Father sending the Son through the woman so that we might become adopted sons in the Spirit, and the Spirit returns us to the Father. And that's the power of these two verses, of the woman of Galatians, and why it's so important that St. Paul calls us to examine that. Now, let's talk about another woman reference in the New Testament, the woman of Revelations. And this is packed. This is really profound, but let's at least begin by unraveling the majesty of Revelations 12. We start with Revelations 11:19, as we've talked about in other parts of our series, that in Revelations 11:19, there's a reference of the new ark, the ark of the covenant, newly found, properly said, in the heavenly Jerusalem. So John sees a vision of the ark of the covenant, and it's in the heavenly Jerusalem. And then that image changes, if you will, and you have a woman clothed with the sun. So does that not make clear that the ark is the woman? It's not two different chapters in how John wrote it. It's two different images, one after the other. Ark and woman clothed with the sun. Well, the woman is clothed with the sun, which makes reference to her proximity to Jesus. The woman has the moon under her feet. St. Bernard of Clairvaux tells us that that moon reflects the light of the sun without ever dimming the light. That's Mary's role as mediatrix of all graces. And she's crowned, this woman, she's crowned with 12 stars. The 12 stars is a reference to the 12 tribes of the Old Testament. Also, the 12 apostles, which symbolizes the new covenant. That the covenant is now new and everlasting because Jesus is the means by which this covenant has been sealed once for all. Now, the woman is in battle. That's very clear in Revelations 12:1. And that's why the woman that gives birth to the male child, the woman of Revelations 12, is the same woman of Genesis 3:15 that is referred to as the woman of victory with her seed of victory, both of whom will crush the head of Satan and his seed of evil. Bookends of Scripture, battle between God's most beloved creature, Mary, God's most heinous creature, Satan. Now, we know that the woman of Revelations 12 must be Mary ultimately because only Mary, only the human person Mary, the immaculate person Mary, gives birth to Jesus. It wasn't the church at all. It wasn't a whole history. It was one woman who gave her flesh to Jesus. And that's why the ultimate interpretation of Revelations 12 must be Mary, as the fathers of the church also second and confirm. Now, the woman of Revelations 12 can also be the church in general, but only Mary gives birth to Jesus. And we notice again that the woman is in battle, that Satan seeks to eat in the Vulgate, to literally consume, to eat the male child, and that doesn't take place. The male child is protected, and the woman is protected as well, but it's a battle motif. I can't but remember the words of an underground bishop in China that I had the privilege of interviewing when he said, the situation in China, to understand the real situation, you have to go to Revelations 12. You have to understand that it's a battle between the woman and the dragon, and only through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate, will the dragon be defeated in China. So, this is not just a revelation that John saw on Patmos 2,000 years ago. It's a revelation that deals with you and me today because we're in the same battle. The battle between the woman and the serpent. And we are on one side or the other, or we're in the midst of choosing one side or the other. And we must be working, ultimately, for the side of the woman, which is the side of Christ. So, the woman gives birth in pain, not to Jesus, but to us, to the rest of the body. This is the same reference in Micah 5 and John 19. The woman is suffering, not in giving birth to Jesus. The Immaculate One doesn't suffer in giving birth to Jesus, but she suffers in giving birth to us. So we'll talk more in this series about the power of Revelations 12:1. Most of all, let's remember the woman is on our side. Let's make sure we're on the woman's side. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli with MaryCast. God bless.